This is the Beer of the Day podcast.
So Natural Liberty, Jeff, you were going to save that for 4th of July. You think we'll make it that far?
Well, I mean, we can drink that beer if you want.
It's got the Statue of Liberty right on the can. That's pretty good.
Well, like when I picked up this beer, my thought was to save it for 4th of July. But if it's a hoppy beer, I mean, 4th of July is a long ways away. Hoppy beers, you don't want to age. Maybe we shouldn't save that. Maybe we should drink it now.
It sounds pretty hoppy. We have Veterans Day is coming up next weekend. We can do it for that.
Let's just drink it. I don't want to age a hoppy beer.
All right. Well, let's do it for Veterans Day then.
Okay. What about So I was looking at these beers, that graham cracker porter. Do you think that's a strange brew? Like, do we want to have that before the red peach, which might be sour, or do we want to have it after?
Yeah, I thought I put the graham cracker porter last, even though it's 5.6% after a 7.2% beer, but that red peach, Flanders red type of thing, I don't think we can have that after a dark beer.
So yeah,
we can do a strange brew. We can do the break and then come back with a regular song intro into the red peach, do comments, and then strange brew right before the last beer, and then do the graham cracker.
I like that. I think we should end with the graham cracker porter. I'm looking forward to that grassroots. That should be delicious. I'm assuming that's going to be great. Hill
everything,
Farmstead and
everything
Anchorage.
They do. Everything Hill Farmstead does is fantastic. They're just pros. They're such a innovator too, and they're so traditional, and combining those two things is great. And then Anchorage, every beer I've had from them lately has been good. So
yeah, it's kind of random, but you know, we throw in the for British eyes only, that's probably like a malty English style IPA. I think it's a good lineup.
All right, let's get into it. From Beer of the Day World Headquarters in Elk Grove, California, this is the Beer of the Day podcast. We've got a grab bag episode for you tonight. 5 different beers of different styles from all around the country. And it's quite a variety. I'm looking forward to it. This is episode 94, released Tuesday, November 5th. We are recording this on Friday night. It's 11 p.m. I'm Dallas Helliker. Joining me tonight from Pasadena on Skype, Jeff Miller. Hey, Jeff.
Hey, Dallas. How you doing?
I'm fantastic. On Tavor, we got our shipment in, and we had a box of, you know, some of the pumpkin beers from the last show, and probably like 15 beers on my list here. And I sent a picture to Jeff and I said, which ones of these did you get also? And he gave me the 5 that he had as well as I have. And I said, that sounds like a pretty good lineup. So I just threw that on the agenda, and that's what we're having tonight. The 5 beers we both have.
Kind of random, but I kind of like this lineup and I'm looking forward to these.
Yeah. The random thing is like, sometimes we have one, like a show of all the same style, like pumpkin or stouts or whatever, IPAs. And, you know, they all kind of are very similar, and it's kind of nice to be able to just have a change of pace for every single beer that you're going to have. So let's get right into the first one. This is called Natural Liberty from Black Acre Brewing Company, Indianapolis, Indiana.
Whew.
Heather is from Indianapolis. A lot of family there, so Jeff and I were there a year ago or a year and a half ago now, and we didn't get to go to any breweries, but we did try some local ones that we bought at the store. But if we like this one, I'm gonna have to go to the brewery next time I'm in Indy.
So this is a pale lager, and you know, we're not biased, but we don't have a lot of lagers on the show. We stick to the ales for the most part. So I'm kind of glad we have this just to start with a lighter beer.
Yeah, it says American Pale Lager, which kind of probably means they use lager yeast, but it's more of a pale ale. And the description says aggressively citra hopped with plenty of gold citrus hop notes and a light Pilsner malt body. So I didn't want to give you a spoiler there, but I think you're going to have more hops than your standard Pilsner or standard lager.
Yeah, and color-wise, it is really almost crystal clear, like a golden straw color. A little bit of carbonation bubbles coming up, and about a finger of white foamy head.
Yeah, and I got three fingers of that head. I poured mine a little more vigorously, but the head is just really thick and foamy on this. And the beer is quite clear. It's a good-looking beer, golden colored.
I mean, it smells hoppy, and it has a very different aroma than most lagers, and I guess I would expect that with a beer that's called a pale lager that's aggressively hopped. It smells hoppy. I mean, it smells kind of like a pale ale.
You know, I had the other day the match from Matchless. Our next beer we're going to have is Matchless, and I had an extra one of those Crosby Hop Farm pale lager. I don't know what it is. But
it's a Pilsner, a wet hop Pilsner.
Wet hop Pilsner. This reminds me remarkably of that. And I was impressed by that beer.
You know, it tastes pretty good. I get a lot of the Pilsner malt right off the bat. It's bready, kind of a dry mouthfeel, kind of the taste you expect from a lager. But then it definitely has the hops that the can says it has.
Yeah, the citra hop is such a fresh tasting, kind of a piney tropical hop, really great flavor, and it's unmistakable in this beer. For me, the lager qualities are a little overshadowed by the hops. You know, if you just told me this was a West Coast pale ale or something, I would think, okay, I wouldn't even, you know, try to challenge you that it was a lager, but for me, that's the lager mouthfeel is what I really comes across to me. It's kind of that lighter bodied, crisp type of taste, but with the fresh hops, which is a very refreshing quality also.
Well, I think it's the yeast for me that gives it away as a lager. I mean, the yeast is going to be different from an ale. But it's tasty. I mean, aside from the yeast, it has a lot of characteristics of a pale ale. I like the hoppiness also. You mentioned some tropical fruit, some pine. I think there's a lot of citrus, you know, some orange, some lemon. Mm-hmm. I think those are pretty common with citra hops. But this is tasty. It's refreshing. It's light. What is this? 5.4%.
Yep.
You know, a little bit higher than your standard like macro lager for sure at 5.4%, but it's nothing that's gonna get you hammered for sure.
No, but the flavor is there. Like if you talk about a Budweiser American lager at 5.5% and this beer at 5.4%, very similar in look, very similar in color, very similar in consistency, but the flavor on this beer is so much, it's just so much more evolved. It's superior. It's your standard American lager is sweet and metallic, and you don't get that at all with this. This is fresh. You can taste all the component ingredients. And, you know, we're getting kind of cold weather now. We're getting to the point of the year where you are looking for darker beers. But if you want a summer lawnmower beer, one that you're drinking on a hot day, one you're drinking for football even, you know, a daytime drinker. It's hard to go wrong with this beer.
You know what I like about this beer? I just realized it as you were talking, is really two things. One is that it's not sweet, and the other is that it's not bitter. and a lot of lagers, and I don't drink a lot of lagers, but if I'm going to have like a macro lager, a lot of them have a little bit too much sweetness for me, like that corn kind of sweetness.
Yeah.
And, you know, some pale ales, IPAs have too much bitterness. I like bitter beers, but some people don't. I like that this beer is very hoppy for the style, but not at all bitter and not sweet. So those two things just make it very tasty for me.
I'm impressed. Let's just shut down the show. Give me a sixer of this and, you know, I'll be good to go for the rest of the evening.
I agree, but we should try a few others.
All right. Well, before we get to the next beer, what kind of beers have you had this week? Any beer experiences you wanted to talk about?
Yeah, I had one beer that I wanted to talk about. It was actually featured as the beer of the day a few days ago, if you're listening to this. It's for San Diego Beer Week. For San Diego Beer Week, we are featuring all San Diego beers, and I was able to get a beer from Pure Project, which is in San Diego. They have a triple IPA that's called Trips on Dubs, and I had it a few days ago, and it is, I'm pretty sure, the best triple IPA I've ever had in my life.
Wow.
A lot of triple IPAs tend to be like overly sweet and malty because they have to, you know, to get the alcohol content that high, they have to be maltier and sweet. But this is like a Northeast style triple IPA, super hoppy, like dry hopped, double dry hopped, I'm sure. Very, you know, not like overly juicy, not sweet, but just, it's like a very strong double IPA, but it's like 10 something percent. It was phenomenal. It was hands down the best triple IPA I've ever had.
Wow. In Northeast style, you say?
Yeah.
I would be interested to sit you down with that beer and a knee-deep Simtra, which is like the opposite West Coast, best West Coast triple IPA you can think of. I think that would be a kind of a fun comparison. Because whenever I have a Simtra, which is not often, I don't often want to drink a beer that's that high ABV. But when I do, it's so good.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But completely different style, so you never. But it's a, I guess it's an IPA.
Yeah, and the Northeast style IPAs I like are the ones that are not sweet, not too juicy. I like sort of the soft malt texture where there's like some flaked oat, some wheat, and to see that in a triple IPA is not very common. And it was just, it was an extremely tasty beer.
Nice.
What about you?
Well, so it was Halloween a couple of days ago, and on the last show, we had the Rahr and Sons pumpkin beer, and I had that on Halloween, and just that was my favorite beer of the show, and it just reinforced it, having that pumpkin beer on Halloween. I enjoyed that immensely, and I'll read some comments about that beer when we get to the comment section. But I did have from Silver Moon Brewing in Bend, Oregon. They have a beer that the proceeds go to the American Cancer Society. It's called F Cancer, and this was just such a classic throwback IPA. It was like old school, like when you think back to what Stone IPA tasted like back in the day, or Big Daddy IPA, like those classic IPAs that we kind of got introduced to the style on. And it's a West Coast type of style, like even if you think about the San Diego one, the Green Flashes IPA.
I think it's just called West Coast IPA.
Yeah. It was just that old school classic flavor, copper color, piney hop, and it was just very, very enjoyable. So for a good cause, and it was a solid beer. So if you see that out there, I recommend picking it up.
Sounds refreshing, not like in a taste type of way, but just with all the hazy, juicy, fruity IPAs to go back to the old school styles, nice once in a while.
Yeah. Sometimes just going back to something that's more traditional and old school is, like you said, refreshing.
speaking of which, before we jump into the next beer, I don't have anything to say about this because I haven't had it yet, but I picked up a six pack of Deschutes fresh squeezed. They have a hazy version now, and it literally like says on the box, like a hazy version of our fresh squeezed IPA. I'm sure they probably didn't want to make that, but I feel like they probably had to. I'll try it out. I got a six pack. It was on sale for a brand new beer. It was fresh. I think it was canned about 2 weeks ago. So I picked it up. I'll write a review and post that as beer of the day pretty soon.
Wow. That's interesting. I mean, they're all having to do it. Sam Adams has the hazy and Sierra Nevada has the hazy, and you got to have one because that's just what's popular, and you got to sell beer, and you know, it's a business. But that's funny that such a traditional beer that we've had so many times comes out with a hazy version of the same beer. Very, and a red one too. You don't see a lot of these hazy red beers, but like Fresh Squeeze is kind of a red IPA.
Yeah. We'll see what the color is on this. The packaging is kind of orange colored, but we'll see how the beer is. I'm sure it's good, but I'll probably prefer the original Fresh Squeezed.
All right, let's get into the next beer. This is one I've really been looking forward to. It's from Grassroots Brewing, which is kind of a offshoot of Hill Farmstead in Vermont. Greensboro, Bend, Vermont. Jeff and I went to this brewery in Vermont, and I would have to say probably the best brewery experience in Vermont, bar none.
Yeah, except for the fact that they had a bunch of beers that we were not able to try because they had these limits on like two beers per person.
Yeah, right. Well, we had to like share and try them all. That was kind of not ideal. But just the place, the actual farm that it's on.
Yeah.
It was pretty amazing just going there and trying these beers. There was 100 people there.
It was beautiful. I mean, it's literally like a farm in the middle of nowhere in Vermont. Like, it's not even a city. It's countryside.
It's countryside, and it's way out in the middle of nowhere. And then you pull in, and there's like cars parked all the way down the line. But they have so much real estate room that everyone's just kind of milling around. And there's several different places you can taste beer, and they do have limits on the beer because I think they want to move people in and out. I think if they didn't have those limits, we would stay there all day.
Well, I want to go back because when we were there, they did not can or bottle any of their IPAs, and they do now. You know, when we were there, they only had a few bottles you could purchase. They were stuff that you would want to age, some, you know, saisons, some stouts. Now they have several IPAs that you can get in cans or bottles. So I think we're due for another trip.
Yeah, I think so too. So this is in collaboration with Anchorage Brewing, Anchorage, Alaska. Having been to Anchorage several times, and I've had a lot of their beer, I didn't go to the brewery when I was there, and I regret that now because they have stepped up their game so much, and maybe they've always been good, but I think they're getting the recognition now where when they come out with a beer on Tavour, it sells out. Like, everyone is on top of these Anchorage beers, and so now you're getting one of the heavy hitters in Vermont with the heavy hitter, maybe the heavy hitter in Vermont with the heavy hitter in Alaska.
Yeah, without a doubt, these are two of the top breweries in the country, especially right now. And to have them come together on this collaboration is pretty enticing. I mean, it was a no-brainer when I saw this available to purchase this.
Yeah, for sure. So it comes in the big cork and cage, big bottle. 750 milliliter.
I just poured mine while Dallas is pouring his. Appearance wise, it's pretty light colored. I would say a straw like color. It's a very light yellow. Quite a bit of head. There's a couple fingers of super white, bubbly, frothy head.
Did I say what this was? The Arctic Saison?
Yeah, Grassroots, which is the name of the Hill Farmstead collaboration subsidiary, whatever you want to call it. Yeah, Arctic Saison. 6%. This is batch number 5. Well, we should make sure we have the same one. Batch number 5, made in October 2016.
Yes.
Yeah, so this is 2 years old, which is good. It's got a little time in the bottle here.
So aroma-wise, classic farmhouse funk, Brettanomyces. It smells exactly as I would have expected. There's a little bit of grassiness, like maybe a little bit of like flower pollen, wheat, and then the little bit of sourness that you'll get from a saison, and then that Brettanomyces yeast is there. It's very prevalent. The head has not dissipated hardly at all. It's still right at the top of my glass, and it's thick and big bubbles. There's a little bit of a haze in this kind of a pale yellow color, and just a small stream of bubbles coming up. How's the flavor, Jeff?
Well, I've had like 4 sips, and I just can't stop drinking it. It's really delicious. I think in the aroma, there was a lot of the Brettanomyces, a little bit less in the taste. I think the right amount in the taste. I think you don't want too much Brett. You want just enough to give it a little kick. And I think that's definitely there.
Without a doubt.
You know, I like that it has a little bit of fruity flavor. I don't know what the fruits would be. Maybe a little bit of banana, a little bit of citrus. But it's very earthy. I mean, it tastes like...
maybe some date or something, too. Like something a little darker.
Maybe. Well, I think maybe what that is there's a little bit of spice, too. Like some herbal spice.
I don't know what a persimmon tastes like, but I think it might be that.
I just think there's an earthiness. Like, it just tastes like it's natural, like a wild ale exposed to the elements. I think this is an excellent beer.
Yeah, it is. It is. It does taste earthy. You know, not dirty, but it tastes like it's from a farm, right? There's a little bit of that earthy grittiness to it.
Well, I like that the Brett is strong in the aroma, and then it sort of dissipates a little bit as the beer sits there. I think that's intentional, and I think that happens naturally when it's, you know, when you open the bottle. It almost tastes a bit like a beer that sort of was made in a cool ship. You know, we've been to some places that use a cool ship, and I don't know if this is, but it just has that wild, natural, like you said, like it was made on a farm. It's just one of those beers that has a lot of complex flavors. I mean, it's got a little bit of everything. There's nothing that overwhelms. It's well balanced. There's a nice amount of hoppiness, some fruitiness, some spice. The malts are there. The Brettanomyces yeast is there. It's just nicely complex. It's like a sophisticated beer. I mean, this is not something easy. I like the carbonation. It is very, I think, highly carbonated and very dry in the finish, which is what you want from this style. And that dry finish really like accentuates the flavors.
Yeah, exactly. It's complex. You could write a book about this beer on the complexity. It's very much like drinking a wine. It's maybe more complex than a wine, actually, because there's different phases of it and all those different elements that you mentioned, flavor components. You know,
what are the
barrel is there for sure.
Yeah, some oak, some barrel. After I just poured myself like another glass because I liked it so much, I'm actually getting more like pear flavors and a little bit of apple. Are you getting any of that?
I do. I do get some pear, some white grape,
mm-hmm.
and maybe a little of that green apple. But that's one where beers can go overboard with it, and so it's not like super sour from that. The green apple is a puckering type of flavor, and this is not sour enough to be puckering. But there is a hint of it.
Yeah, it's not tart at all. I think you nailed it with the like green grape or white grape flavor. I think that's really what I'm getting now.
Yeah, which lends to that white wine type of taste. But, you know, the effervescence, the sparkling is there.
I mean, it almost has like a champagne-like mouthfeel. Kind of like all the Brut IPAs that are being made right now. They have this like champagne taste. There's definitely a little bit of that in the dryness of this beer.
This is excellent. It's one of those ones where I feel inadequate to fully appreciate it. You know, like, it's like there's so much here that I keep taking another sip and like trying to derive more and trying to understand it better, because it's a challenge, but in a good way.
Yeah. And it's only 6%. I kind of wish it was maybe 7%, you know, maybe a little bit higher, because 6% seems a little low. But
Saison, though, that's very typical.
Like, yeah,
I think when they get higher than that, it's going against the tradition. So I think this is very traditional as well.
Yeah, it's tasty. Again, this is batch number 5. I wish I had known about batch 1, 2, 3, and 4. I would have picked those up. But this is a phenomenal beer.
Something else. Wow. All right, well, let's enjoy the beer and get into this.
And now, the beer news of the day.
A mere 45-minute flight from Reykjavik is the beautiful town of Akureyri. Situated on the shores of the north coast, this charming port.
This is the commercial and cultural. We had some beers from Iceland.
Einstock,
yeah. Einstock Ulgart. And yeah, this was a show 3 years ago. And I had that clip. And so I had an Icelandic story, so I thought I'd just pull that one out. But bars in downtown Reykjavik ran out of beer serving thirsty U.S. sailors and Marines who were in port over the weekend participating in the NATO military exercises Trident Juncture. The restaurant Saita Svino and the American Bar and other downtown bars reportedly finished their beer supplies serving the 6,000 to 7,000 sailors who were in town. The local news site Visser reports that the brewery Olgart Ellis Slagrimasor, which makes the popular Gull, had to send out emergency supplies to the bars. According to the sources of Visser, the soldiers preferred local beers over imports and were very willing to sample different microbrews as well as the more popular standard lagers. So I thought that was kind of interesting that, A, they ran out of beer, but the American Navy men and Marines wanted to try what they had locally, and they drank everything they had, which is what we do when we go to a place. We don't get beer from anywhere else. Like, I was in Denver 2 weeks ago, and at the airport, and I go to the airport bar, and I'm asking the lady, "Hey, what Denver beers do you have? What Colorado beers?" And she lists all these beers off that are not Colorado beers. And so I had to keep my selection to what's local. And if we were in Iceland, it'd be the same thing. We'd be, what Icelandic beers do you have? And luckily, the Icelandic beers that we have had, as limited as they are, have been really good. So
what'd you have? A Coors Light, Coors something else?
No, but she did list those off for local beers. I was like, what do you have that's local to Colorado? She's like, well, Coors Light, New Belgium.
Yeah.
I found a few that I got to try. So Americans like their beer, and so a little country like Iceland, small capital, they can be in trouble when we come to town.
I heard the same thing about like the Olympics in Russia, that they were running out of beer in multiple cities, that they just did not plan to have that much beer drinking happening during the Olympics.
Yeah, that's kind of strange to me. I mean, maybe the 'cause the Russians aren't like big beer drinkers. They drink other spirits. But you know, you get people from the United States and Germany and a lot of countries around the world, big beer countries.
I guess I meant the World Cup, not the Olympics. World Cup that was in Russia recently.
Oh,
lots of soccer fans drinking a ton of beer.
Oh well, yeah, that soccer fans from anywhere drink beer. I mean, that's the only point of that sport.
Way, I'm a soccer fan.
The Olympics were there recently too, right?
Yeah. Sochi. But World Cup was most recent, and all these towns that had games were just not prepared for all the tourists from around the world to just show up and drink the beer. So they had to sort of same problem that Iceland had.
Yeah. Okay, let's see what else we got here. Good news for green brews. Consumers say they'll pay more for sustainable beer. Breweries are quite creative these days when it comes to saving energy. Double Mountain Brewery in Oregon uses refillable beer bottles, 5 and 20 spirits, and brewing turns to its waste grain and water into compost for aquaculture, and Sierra Nevada Brewing Company recovers carbon dioxide from fermentation cycle. A lot of breweries we've toured, they talk about sustainability. Breweries put solar panels all over the place. The brewing beer is an expensive and sometimes wasteful process. And so it's good that they can find uses for all of the ingredients and try and be as efficient as possible.
So my only, I don't know if this is a complaint, but Double Mountain, great beer. They have these really thick bottles, like you mentioned, and you can now take them in and recycle them and reuse them. My only issue with that is if people don't do that, then you've now wasted a even more because the bottle is so much thicker and bigger than a normal sized bottle. So if it works, great, but I hope people actually do that, because otherwise it's just even costing more and wasting more glass that isn't recycled.
Yeah. A majority of 1,000 U.S. beer drinkers surveyed say they would be willing to pay more for sustainably produced beer, and on average, they would pay around $1.30 more per six-pack.
It's interesting. That's a lot.
Jason Perkins, a brewmaster at Allagash Brewing Company, a craft beer brewery in Portland, Maine, says this research makes him ecstatic. He says Allagash, which has put a number of sustainability practices in place, including waste diversion, composting, cork recycling, and using locally grown grain, put in a solar array in 2016 after contemplating the investment for a while. Allagash, speaking of cool ships and sours, very cool brewery to visit in Maine. When they get big like that, I think they're the 20th biggest brewery in the country. They were at the time when we visited 2 years ago. But, when you get that big, you can afford to invest a little bit in sustainability, and it just helps everything. All right, let's get into the third beer.
I need to check the records for any British-owned building businesses.
That would have applied for a license about 10 years ago.
Oh, I'm so sorry. You'll need a UK passport to check those files. They're for British eyes only. For British
eyes only. Don't I look kind of British?
Perhaps if you're willing to lose £20.
The clerk was asking for a bribe, but this was lost on Michael.
You guys do go for the jugular.
If you find someone with a passport, we're here till 8, and do stay for the poppins.
So this beer is called For British Eyes Only from Matchless Brewing in Tumwater, Washington. I don't know if this was a reference to that Arrested Development, but as soon as I saw For British Eyes Only, that was what I thought of.
I thought of that in a James Bond movie. One of the two.
So this is an IPA.
We've had a few other beers from Matchless, and I think overall they've been pretty solid. It's in Tumwater, Washington, which I don't know exactly where that is, but it's pretty close to where a lot of hops are grown in the Yakima Valley. So I think they probably have access to good hops, hopefully.
Hopefully. That makes a big difference when you're making beer.
But I assume it's a little bit of a British-style IPA here, but we will find out. Color-wise,
it looks like it.
Dark, a little bit darker.
Yeah, it's a amber color. It's not copper. It's more orange than copper. I'll call it.
Like a pale amber.
Pale amber or a light orange. No noticeable carbonation, slight little bit of haze, but this is not a hazy beer. The head is thick, off-white colored, kind of soapy bath bubbles.
Yeah, the aroma of this beer is, I guess, what I expected. It's very British. It is very malty, kind of some caramel malt, some just darker malt, darker than I would actually think based on the color. But for an IPA, it's just, it smells much more maltier than hoppy.
It smells what East Coast IPAs used to smell like.
Mm-hmm.
Back, you know, now it's all Northeast and hazy and all that. And when we were drinking West Coast IPAs and on this show 3 years ago, I'd smell this beer and I'd say it tastes like a New York IPA, you know, something like, from the East Coast.
Like when we used to drink like Shipwreck IPA, like that was East Coast style, was these beers from Boston area, like the Shipwreck, which was very malty. That's exactly what it smells like.
Yeah, or Brooklyn Brewing or anything in Pennsylvania.
Even some Dogfish.
Yeah. So it's a different taste and one that is not very popular right now. You don't see these a lot. So, but you're right. It's probably English hops that that lead to that a little bit.
Which is interesting for a brewery that is so closely tied to like where most U.S. hops are grown in Washington. Like this, it would make a little bit more sense if this was truly like an East Coast brewery making like an English style IPA. But for it to come from a Washington brewery is kind of interesting to me.
Yeah, but what kind of makes sense is that they grow all the hop styles. I wouldn't be surprised if these hops were just grown there and it's just a different variety and they're trying to grow. They're doing a kind of a throwback beer to a different style using hops that are local to them. But that's just a guess on my part.
So looking at the taste of this beer a little bit deeper, it is definitely malt forward. There's some sweetness, kind of like a brown sugar sweetness from those malts. I'm not sure how to describe them. It's a little bit of like dark bread flavors, but it is not quite like a super roasted caramel malt.
No.
It's more like dark bread with some brown sugar.
Yeah, it's quite sweet too. Malty. This is a red ale, kind of feels like it. A red IPA, you talked about Fresh Squeeze before, and this is not Fresh Squeeze because it doesn't have the fresh hop, citrus hop type of flavors, but it does have that same red IPA malt base where you're getting the darker, it's not even rye, it's sweeter than rye. So it's bready, but it's a sweet bread, and boy, it's a tough one to describe in words.
Well, I think if you like malt-forward IPAs, you would like this beer a lot. I think it's super smooth. There's just a touch of bitterness. It's minimal. I don't know what the IBUs are, but I would guess it's probably like in the 40 range, 30 to 50, somewhere in there. It's not super high IBUs. What I really like about the beer, the malts sort of lead into this creamy mouthfeel that is missing from a lot of malty IPAs, and I'm glad they have that in this beer because the creaminess makes it very enjoyable.
Yes, it does. So I'm looking at the back of the can here. It says hops, Fuggles, EKG, Brambling Cross, and UK Jester. That just sounds like all British hop varietals. I don't know if you could come up with better names than that. Golden Promise Malt and Munich. Yeast is Foursquare. Descriptors, proper. You sound like you're from London.
I don't know any of those hops, so I assume those are English hops.
They have to be. So we don't drink a lot of English IPAs on this show or on for the website. Jeff and I, before the craft beer thing took off in the United States, we did play darts at this English pub, and we drank a lot of like Fuller's ESB and English beers. No IPAs really, but we did get a little bit of a taste for English hops. And when I was in London a couple years ago, I had a lot of beers that were similar to this. So I think that if they're going for British English IPA, I think it's pretty authentic, and it's the hops that really make it that.
This is tasty. I mean, if you're good with a malt forward IPA, there's a lot of complex flavors in this beer. I think it's a very tasty beer. I would absolutely buy this again.
All right, well, we are three beers in and we have two left. A strange brew and a sour. So stay tuned. We'll try those when we get back. Plus, we'll have comments from you, the listener, here on the Beer of the Day podcast. All right, if you like this show and want to help us out, a couple ways you can do that. First is shop on Amazon through the Beer of the Day website. If you go to beeroftheday.com, up at the top, upper right-hand corner, you can click on Shop on Amazon, or just go to amazon.beeroftheday.com. You do your normal shopping, and then we get a little percentage from Amazon. Christmas is coming up. You need to start doing your Christmas shopping now. If you do that through our website, you just click a link, do your regular shopping, we get a percentage, 4, 5, 6% back. And, you know, a normal month we'll get a couple bucks, 10, 15, 20 bucks. Christmas season, we can get a couple $100 because everyone is shopping, spending a lot of money on Amazon. So help us out. Help us pay for some of these beers. Web hosting. We just upgraded our server, our SMS text messaging and email costs are pretty pricey. We're sending out a lot of text messages for beer of the day text messages. Sign up for those, get them every day. But we got to pay for that. We got to pay 1 cent each, which adds up when you got thousands of people getting them. So yeah, shop on Amazon through the Beer of the Day website and help us keep the lights on here. Other way you can help us is just comment on our posts. Every day we post to Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. We post the Beer of the Day up there, and if you just respond to it, just leave your comment on it, hey, I'd like to try that beer, or hey, I had that beer. You know, a lot of times we're getting these beers on Tavor, you've had the same beers we've had, you have an opinion, you just post that, and other people on your social media timeline are going to see that you posted on that and then say, oh, Beer of the Day, I'm going to like follow them. And it's kind of spreads like a virus. So do that. Just participate. And then that helps spread the word about Beer of the Day. And we'll keep growing, getting bigger and bigger. So a couple ways you can help us out. And we thank you for doing that.
24 hours in a day. 24 beers in a case. Coincidence? I think not. Now, back to the Beer of the Day podcast.
Welcome back to the show. We have now an interesting beer to try. This is called 18 Mile Red Peach. This is a kind of a Flanders style sour red ale with peaches from Carolina Brauernhaus Ales, Anderson, South Carolina. We had another one of their beers recently this year, and it was quite good, and I was glad to see another one of their beers pop up on the list.
Yeah, we've had a couple of them. I think probably our only beers from South Carolina, courtesy of Tavor, and all have been excellent so far. So I have high expectations for this. Oh, it smells... I didn't even pour it in my glass yet, but you can smell the tartness right as you open it. Now I'm a little scared of this beer.
It's so rare to have a bottled beer to open.
They are kind of rare these days on our show. Wow. Much darker color than I expected. I I don't know why, but I thought this would be a light colored beer. But yeah, it is like a...
I thought it'd be a red colored beer, but it pours like a root beer.
It's like a medium or dark amber color.
Dark. Yeah.
I got a lot of like floaties in there. Like it looks like an apple cider.
Yeah, it does a lot.
It's a color of like fresh pressed apple cider.
The head is thin compared to all the other beers we've had. It's already dissipated down to just a slight layer on the top of the glass. That very dark red copper color.
That aroma, it is super sour in the aroma.
It's sour and cherry is what I get.
Cherry, yeah. Not peach. Well, maybe peach, but more cherry.
I don't get much peach. But, you know, sometimes that comes through in the flavor. But for a Flanders red, if that's what this is, usually those are a little lighter color than this. This is quite a bit darker than I expected.
It's very good, but very sour. It's like lots of puckering of the lips.
A lot of puckering.
Yeah, it is not a beginner's sour, that's for sure.
No, it's quite sour. But, you know, you don't want to get cheated on the sourness. You want to, if it's, you're going to have a sour beer, you might as well have it be sour. And this is certainly that. You know, Halloween was two nights ago, and I was eating some Sour Patch Kids, some like sour gummy worms and stuff. So this is probably more sour than those, actually.
I mean, it's very like acidic. And some people would really like this. I don't get as much cherry in the flavor. There's a lot more cherry in the aroma. I get a little bit more like darker fruit, like cherries are dark, but like blackberry or like a sour, like a, you know how blackberries have that like tartness to them?
Yes.
I'm getting that, but like on a...
Or I'd even say raspberry.
Yeah, but just like an inflated way of blackberries or raspberries, the tartness.
Yeah, this is very sour. Let me apply the three sip rule here and have a few, because sometimes it, after these lighter hoppy ones, this might take a little adjustment.
I get the sourness really overwhelms, but I get a lot of the oak barrel flavors as well. There's woody oak flavors. I don't know how long this is barrel aged, but it's definitely barrel aged for a while, and it is got that oaky wood flavors that you get straight from the barrel.
This is our 18 Mile Red Sour Ale, aged on local peaches for 6 months. This rustic refined ale was fermented in petite Syrah barrels and aged for 8 months before blending in farm fresh local peaches. So 8 months before and then 6 months with the peaches.
That's a good amount of time.
The bright acidity of this peachy ale is created using a strain of native lacto isolated by South Yeast Labs. The initial bite of this red ale is balanced by the juicy peach notes and an oaky barrel character. So this is the description there says peach, 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 peach. And man, for me, the sourness maybe overwhelms any peachiness that there is.
Yeah, I agree. There's a little bit, but if I didn't know any better, like in a blind taste test, I don't know that I would pick peach as the fruit flavor that I get from this.
And sour beers, there's a big spectrum of what is sour. And this is, I'm five sips, six sips in, and this is still making me pucker. It's making my throat tighten. You know, I feel it in the back of my throat like that. Sour quality.
What? Like
this is
I don't
very
get heart,
sour.
I don't get heartburn. I know you have lots of heartburn, but I sort of get that heartburn a little bit in the back of my throat when I drink this.
Yeah, luckily this isn't like flaring that up, which is good. Sour beers in general, like Cascade in Portland, I take a sip of that, and usually my heartburn is on fire. And this beer. It's not the case. It's more just the reaction to the sourness in my mouth and tongue and the sides of my cheeks. You know, you kind of get that rawness in the side of your cheek where you might accidentally bite the side of your gums because you've lost the feeling, and that, the sourness really is quite sour. Wow.
Yeah. But you know, I like this. I can appreciate the quality. I think I said this for the last beer we had from this brewery. I appreciate the complexity and the quality of this beer, but it is very sour. Like, you have to be a lover of Granny Smith apples and the most tart, sour things you can find to enjoy this beer. And I do like it, but it is very sour.
Yeah, and I like sour, and you know, but not to the point where I like the Warheads. You know, that's like, it takes it too far. And I would go so far as to say that this beer takes a sour a little too far for my personal preference. Now, maybe sours are one of these things where it's a cumulative effect where you have a lot of sours all the time and you always want to get more sour, just like we are with hops, where for the longest time you wanted to get hoppier and hoppier and hoppier. It's always a challenge to get more and more hoppy. It got to the point where you couldn't get any hoppier. And so then there was this correction to like the juicier Northeast type of style. So with sours, is that the case? Sours will want to get more sour and more sour and more sour to the point where your taste buds can't handle it anymore. At which case there might be a correction. I don't know enough about sours to know if that is actually happening here, but I think this one is sour enough. You have to be a professional sour drinker to fully appreciate it.
This is like one of those beers that I feel like it's a sour beer that like puts hair on your chest. And I got enough of that already, but it is a strong, bold sour beer, and it is going to put hair on your chest if you don't have any already.
Yeah. Wow. That's something else.
Incoming transmission.
You've got mail.
Well, I mentioned in beers I had recently the Rahr and Sons Pumpkin Ale. And there were some comments on this beer. Joel was not on the pumpkin show, but he commented on the website. He said, "This beer was incredibly smooth and malty and just the right amount of spices. I didn't get any pumpkin flavors. If you could turn a really good gingerbread house into a beer, this would be it. In my opinion, it's more of a Christmas beer than a pumpkin ale." He said pumpkin fail. Oh, pumpkin fall beer. Very small font here so I can fit all the comments on one page. You know, I had this beer on Halloween two nights ago, and I agree. The pumpkin was very reserved. It was more the pumpkin pie spices, and you didn't get a lot of the pumpkin fruit. So, but very, very good beer. Steve Moe on Instagram says, "Got this beer from Tavor, and it was really well done. A gritty take on pumpkin beers." Amy Wall shared this with some of her friends. Cicada Beer Works says, "At Funkworth, they really talked your beer up in their episode." We did. That was one of our favorite beers, and thanks for letting the brewery know that we has nice things to say. On the pumpkin show itself, Rich Nagel commented on, looks like Facebook, "Oh, Buckeye Nut. Perfect timing. Another fantastic podcast to look forward to on an upcoming flight. Just hope I can hold out a few days before listening." I said, "Get those headphones and drink tickets ready." Yeah, Rich always listens to our show and comments, and we appreciate that. Hey, Rich. Cicada Beer Works says, "Great episode. I think what makes the Rahr and Sons beer really good is that if they are using their Oktoberfest beer as a base, then you're in for a treat. It won gold at GABF. I believe I said that when we tried the beer, that the base of that beer is a Marzen Oktoberfest-style beer, and which I've really been appreciating lately. So it was good to... that's, I think, what made that beer really good. And then for Lance's birthday, Jeff featured Sip of Sunshine from Lawson's Finest Liquids in Vermont. And that we talked about earlier, our trip to Hill Farmstead in Vermont. And the other highlights were obviously The Alchemist, and Sip of Sunshine. Lawson's, there's no location, but
no, there is. It just opened like 2 weeks ago.
Oh, is that right?
They now have a tasting room, and it is officially open. It's been in the works for a while, and it is now open as of October of this year.
Oh man, well, we have to go back now.
Yeah.
So those three, I'd have to say. And so we had Sip of Sunshine, kind of a throwback from when we were there a couple years ago. And Ron Height said, can't find it in San Diego. No, you cannot. It is not in anywhere in California. And it's just one of those beers, you have to get lucky to find it. Maybe someone went back there for family trip or whatever. Or maybe you can hook up with some people. Like, we met some people at Hill Farmstead and have traded some beers with them. Lance has. So,
look, here's all you got to do. You fly into Boston. You can take a red eye from California. You land. You rent a car. You drive up to Vermont. It's not that far. Load up your beer. Put it in a nice beer case. Drive back. Fly home. One weekend, you can get a bunch of nice beer.
And we did that, and it was well worth it. And if you're really into craft beer, you cannot do better than going to Vermont as on a beer weekend. That's really good. And or go to Portland, or if you don't live in California, go to San Diego. Those are the three. Just get those done if you're into craft beer. You cannot go wrong. If you have any comments, send them to us. feedback@beeroftheday.com or comment to us on social media. We are at Beer of the Day on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. All right, let's get into the final beer of the night. Speaking of Rich, he was on Halloween. He was listening to the Halloween party playlist, and he sent me that Strange Brew, that song came on, and it made him think of Beer of the Day podcast. And every time I hear that song, not just that 30-second clip, but the actual full-length song, I'm like, oh, it like throws me for a loop because I'm used to just hearing the 30 seconds that I play. So, but yeah, it's a good song if you listen to the whole thing. All right, last beer of the night. This is the Graham Cracker Porter from Denver Beer Company, Denver, Colorado, 5.6%. Comes in a brown can. It says, enjoy this campfire in a can.
I was sure to like drink a lot of water after that last beer because it'll wreck your palate.
It pairs with tents and s'mores, sunsets and friends. Cool little can. All that campfire talk reminds me of the campfire stout from Highwater. We had the coffee edition on a recent show, and they liked your picture so much, Jeff, they wanted to reuse it.
Mm-hmm.
Repost it.
Campfire stout is actually a very good value. I saw it at Whole Foods the other day for $7.99 for a large bottle, which for a Whole Foods price, I think that's a pretty good deal. It's a excellent beer. So if you, they probably only distribute in California, but if you can get your hands on it, Campfire Stout is a tasty beer. All right. This is the first dark beer of the night. It's very dark, dark brown, nearly, it's probably a black color.
Probably very, very dark brown is what I would say.
Very dark brown. The head is like a tan khaki color. Pretty thick, creamy, lots of lacing all over the glass. I like that look. I mean, it looks like a stout that you want to drink outside by a campfire.
So we're calling this a strange brew. We've had a lot of porters before, and we've even described graham cracker flavors, but we've never had one that actually says that in the title, Graham Cracker Porter. So that's a very distinct flavor. And we'll see. If you're going to put that on your can, it better taste like graham crackers, right? It's got to. So just before I take a sip of it, the aroma, those dark malts, roasted, but I get a little bit of a milky lactose, yeah, lactose quality just in the smell. I don't know if this is lactose beer, but I just got to call it as I smell it.
I get that too. First thing I thought on the aroma was, well, maltiness, but also lactose.
And on the sips also, I would be shocked if this beer was not brewed with lactose. It tastes like a milk stout. We had on a couple shows ago the Firestone Mocha Merlin Milk Stout.
Velvet Merlin Milk Stout.
Velvet Merlin. Very kind of milky, dark beer quality. And I get that with this one as well.
Yeah, I like this. I don't know that I get so much graham cracker. I mean, there might be a little bit. It's malty. There's a little bit of earthy hops, but it is it's a malt-forward beer. I get a lot of chocolate, like dark chocolate, molasses, that type of dark malt flavor.
When you get a beer this dark, you expect it to be a little bit heavy, and it's a porter, so you're traditionally not as heavy. And this beer is not heavy. It's a lighter mouthfeel. You get that milkiness right on the tongue. So it's like coffee has cream in it. So it like cuts it a lot. And so the flavor of this beer is not overwhelming. It's cut by that milkiness.
But don't you think it's a little bit heavier body than most porters? Like I would call this like medium to heavy body for a porter. It is not like most porters to me seem a little watered down. It's one of my least favorite styles of beer, and I don't think this is watered down. I think this is more like a medium to full bodied porter.
It's full flavored for sure. I don't get any wateriness at all. That thin watery quality is not here. This is it's not a thick beer, but it's coating and the flavor is encompassing. So I wouldn't say that it has that typical watered down thing going on.
True. I also get a little bit of spice, like cinnamon and nutmeg. There's a little bit of a, maybe not nutmeg, but there's a spice that you would get like a pumpkin spice almost for a non-pumpkin beer.
Yeah, I do get that. And just a very slight smokiness. They mentioned campfire, so that makes you think of smoky. And it's not a smoky beer, but there's a hint of smokiness there, which I should mention. I like the very initial taste of this beer. Like there's some really dark, roasty things going on before it mellows out into that kind of a milky consistency on the tongue. So it like hits you with like this dark porter type of quality, and then it smooths out after that. It's like it gives you a hint of this really bold beer, and then it's tempered a little bit with this smoothness that kind of sits on your tongue, a creaminess, and it's an interesting quality.
Yeah, I enjoy this. I mean, I think there's a lot of different flavors. There's the coffee, the chocolate, the maltiness, the lactose, the cinnamon spice. I think there's also some like honey sweetness, and maybe that's the graham cracker. I don't think the graham cracker is super pronounced, no. but graham crackers have that honey flavor, and I think there's a little bit of that honey sweetness. This is a tasty beer, especially this time of year as it gets a little bit cooler.
Yeah, for sure. All right, well, before we figure out what our favorite beer of the day is, I just want to remind you that on Facebook, we're at facebook.com/beer of the day, Twitter @beer of the day, Instagram @beer of the day. Follow us there, get the beer of the day sent to you every single day, or go to beeroftheday.com, sign up for an account, put in your email address or your mobile phone number, and we will email you the beer of the day each and every day, or text message it straight to your phone with a picture in the and a link to the description. So if you want to get the beer of the day each day, Follow us on social media or sign up on the website, and you'll get all these beers that we've had tonight and plenty more. All right, let's figure out what our favorite beer of the day is. Jeff, go ahead.
Well, so we had five all really good beers tonight, very different styles. I appreciate the diversity of this show.
It makes it a little tough, though.
It does.
Because, you know, you have a favorite beer of two different styles, and this is a tough decision for me.
Yeah. I'll say this first, especially the first three beers, like having the Natural Liberty from Black Acre was maybe the best pale lager I've ever had. For British Eyes Only was one of the better English style IPAs I've ever had. You know, within that category, those are very high quality beers, but this one, I mean, it's pretty easy for me to pick my favorite is going to be the Grassroots Arctic Saison. You take two breweries like Hill Farmstead and Anchorage Brewing, put them together, make a collaboration like this. It is a super high quality Saison, one of my favorite styles of beer. It was tasty. Every aspect of that beer was excellent. So this is a pretty easy pick for me. Lots of good beers tonight, but there was one that really stood out as the best, and that was the Grassroots Arctic Saison.
Yeah, you're right. It's when you boil it down like that, it is an easy decision because that beer is so high quality and so complex. And like I said, you could write a book on that beer, and it's one that you want to share with everybody, and you're disappointed that you only have one huge bottle of it. So that's definitely my beer of the day too, but I have to give an honorable mention to Black Acre. That Liberty, Natural Liberty, such a good beer for the style. A hoppy lager, you know, there's people don't do a lot of those, but when they do it right, it is so good. And that one just had that, the right hop flavor just to pull it all together and still maintaining that drinkability of a light lager. So definitely a good job there too. I have to go to Black Acre next time I'm in Indianapolis just to try it out because that beer was impressive. But Grassroots Arctic Saison, it's hard to even go into it again. So well done. Have to try it out.
It's excellent.
All right, well, that will close out the Fall Grab Bag episode. We thank you for tuning in. Remind you to check out the website, beeroftheday.com. Follow us on social media, at Beer of the Day, everywhere you go. And leave us a comment, feedback@beeroftheday.com. If you're ambitious, post your own Beer of the Day. Just click Add a Beer, and we'll feature that as the Beer of the Day. We thank you for tuning in, and we will see you on our next episode in a couple of weeks. We are rapidly approaching episode number 100, and we're going to have a big party for that. So stay tuned and enjoy the ride with us. We'll see you next time. For Jeff Miller, I'm Dallas Helliker. This has been the Beer of the Day podcast.